So, this is Vibe Tribe episode 131, and this one is a special emergency edition of the podcast because something incredible happened today. So, a couple of months ago, one of my good friends on YouTube requested that when he hit a certain milestone, that he come back to the podcast because he is a repeat guest. He requested to me to be back on the podcast. Well, people, the milestone has been hit. The podcast has been scheduled. And we are here. And we are live. And he's in the back. And he's coming up next on Vibe Tribe, which starts now. What's up, people? It's your boy Viper, the man about tech, and welcome back to another episode of Vibe Tribe. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And tonight, we have a very special guest in the building. This man is one of the very best Apple creators on the YouTube platform, and today he hit a very special milestone on YouTube. That is right, baby. We have Mr. 100,000 subscribers himself, the man that y'all tried to cancel and failed miserably, but he's here. He's live. He's on Vibe Tribe. Let's bring in Mr. 100K himself, Greg McFadden. Greg Gadgets is here. What's up, bro? How you doing?
Hello, Viper. How's it going? That's right. They tried to cancel me. But we couldn't cancel what was inevitable. We did it. We reached 100,000. And like Viper said, this was a special request months in the making. Viper is my Walter Isaacson. You know, when Steve Jobs was about to pass away, he handpicked who would write his biography. So I handpicked Viper to do this 100,000 interview because, you know, this is a moment in history, that will live in infamy up there with some of the best moments in history. George Washington crossing the Delaware, the discovery of the atom, the invention of the iPod sock, and then me, 100,000, Greg's Gadgets.
Wow. Congratulations to you for hitting 100K. It is hard work. And like you said, this is a once-in-a-lifetime moment for a YouTube creator. So,
That's not true.
Oh.
Because Renee Ritchie, I saw him in the chat. He has hit 100,000 twice now. So it can happen. It can happen multiple times for people.
Fair enough.
Twice.
But normally, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing for a YouTube creator. So again, congratulations to you for hitting 100K. So I guess the first question I got to ask you, how does it feel reaching such a milestone? Because we both know it is not easy reaching 100K on YouTube.
All right, I'm gonna throw away the face, the facade. It feels really good to hit that 100,000 milestone because I think when you start off YouTube, it's the first. I feel like everyone looks forward to it eventually because it's kind of like that validation. Number one, it's six figures. It looks big. It looks impressive. It also comes with an award, the silver play button. It's kind of like your first recognition from YouTube that you're actually something. You get verified on YouTube eventually. I hear it's kind of delayed right now. So it's kind of nice to get that. And I know people really probably shouldn't look at it that way. I know like Roberto Blake would be like, don't think about it that way. Don't look at it as validation. It's just a number. But in reality, it does feel nice. It does kind of feel validating. Like you've actually built a successful community on the platform and a successful channel.
Absolutely, man. Like I said, not too many creators hit 100,000 in their YouTube lifetime, but you are in an elite company, my friend. Congratulations. The last time I had you on the podcast as a guest, it was episode 50.
Mm.
Now episode 131. So it seems like it was like a long time ago when you were on the podcast last, but it hasn't been that long, but it's been long enough. I think when you were on here on episode 50, I think you might've been around 50 or 60,000 at that point.
That sounds about right.
But like I said, again, here we are all these months later and you are at 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I'm
I've been fun watching you grow. Then you come out of your shell a little bit, become more lively, become more, add more humor to your content. It's been fun, man. It's been fun watching you. Definitely.
Yeah. It's been a slow, droning process of me being boring and eventually getting a little bit of humor. It's funny. If I go back to some of my early videos, I actually tried to be more funny and then I kind of fell out of it and kind of went more mundane, but I'm bringing it back slowly. I'm bringing it back slowly. There are a lot of my older fans will reference stuff from really old videos. And it's funny how far back that kind of goes. But I'm starting to bring it back more. I'm starting, like you said, getting a little bit out of my shell. With 100,000 comes a little bit more confidence, I think.
So earlier today on your own channel, you did your very first live stream ever. So talk to us about your experience in doing your very first live stream on your channel anyway ever.
Yeah, I mean, to call it my first live streams, a little disingenuous, right? As I
mean, on your channel.
Yes, my live stream, doing it myself, running the show on my channel. It went extremely well. A lot of people showed up, which I didn't know what to expect. I've never done a live stream. People don't expect it for me. Last minute, too. It's not like I scheduled it days in advance and said, hey, come to this or promote it in any way. It's just very last minute. And we had a bunch of people coming in to celebrate 100,000. Asking me a bunch of questions, some tech questions, some personal questions I didn't want to answer.
I was there. They did.
You were there. Yep. And also, it's my birthday tomorrow, so a lot of birthday wishes as well. That's part of the reason why we got to 100,000. I actually said in a video, I'm like, oh, my birthday, August 6th. You should subscribe. And I can't tell you, it's been tremendous support from the entire tech community. The amount of subscriptions I've gotten since that call has been insane. I actually didn't think we'd reach 100,000 by my birthday, but we did. So that's pretty cool. I like that.
Like I said earlier, happy early birthday, and I'm pretty sure this is an amazing birthday present for you to be hitting 100K the day before your birthday. I mean, that's astronomical, man.
Sorry to any friends or family watching this. You can't top that birthday present. You know, the audience gave me the ultimate birthday present this year, so better luck next year is what I'm saying.
All right, so I have an interesting question that I just thought about. So as you know, Greg, when a lot of creators, when they're first starting out on YouTube, obviously they have big goals, they got big dreams, they want to hit 100K, but only a select few hit 100K. So my question to you is, knowing what you know now and having crossed that milestone, what would you tell younger Greg, the Greg that's just starting out on YouTube? What would you tell him now, knowing what you know?
Man, what would I tell younger Greg? Oh, man. I don't know. I'd tell him to maybe not worry so much. Just kind of make your content, put yourself out there a little bit more. Make more connections early on. That's something I didn't really do until probably around like 8,000, 10,000 subscribers. I was kind of running solo. And meeting more people along the way, I feel like it's been really helpful meeting people like you, Travis, Renee, just because Luke Miani's in the chat. We'll say Luke Miani too. So meeting all those people, actually forming this community, El Jefe Reviews. I mean, too many people to mention, you know, the whole group. Meeting all those people, kind of talking to them really was helpful for me to kind of grow, I feel like. Other advice, obviously, I mean, I guess I would give like content advice as well and all that stuff, but really kind of take it more easy. Just enjoy the content, enjoy the ride, right? Like, it's not going to happen overnight. Enjoy the ride.
We always say when it comes to YouTube, it is indeed a marathon and not a sprint. And yeah. I mean, I think you would know better than most, having finally hit that milestone, that you put in a lot of work, man. You do a video every other day, it seems like. So you have definitely put in the work and put in the grind to get to where you are.
Yeah. My content's pretty sporadic. I don't have like a set number of videos for the week, but I do feel like I hit like maybe like 3 or 4 on a good week. At least recently too, I've been more consistent recently. Sometimes I'd post like one video a week and kind of go absent. But as I got closer to 100,000, I really wanted to hit it. So I just kept the content up.
You ramped it up. No doubt.
I didn't want to see those numbers dip. You know, if I saw the numbers dip, I'm like, you know what? I better make this video today.
No doubt, man. No doubt. So let's talk about your journey from 0 to 100,000, man. What have been some of your like the highlights of your journey from 0 to 100? What have been some of the highlights from 0 to 100,000?
Oh, man. It's such a difficult question to answer. I'm just trying to go back all the way to zero and see if there's any highlights I can mention way back in the day. My first tech video was on the Apple Watch. I'm sure if people watch a lot of my stuff, they probably know that. The first generation Apple Watch, silver, sport, just a horrible, awful unboxing. Don't go watch it. It's really bad. But then it was weird. I kind of wanted to start this YouTube journey. I wanted to make more content, all that stuff. I was trying to get into it, watching a lot of videos, researching how to make a YouTube channel, watching like tons of like Roberto Blake, watching a lot of other tech content creators. And I kind of wanted to go in, give my own opinions on it. And so I made that video, right? I'm all hyped. I'm like, I got the first generation Apple Watch, new product for Apple. This is gonna spur my channel on. And then my next video is Apple Watch. Next video after that, Apple Watch, 8 months later. So I was ready to go. I got the camera. I got everything. I took like an 8 month break in between content. So, but that was a great video for me. The 8 months later video is probably the first video that gained any real traction. I think it has around like 17 to 20,000 views if I go back and look at it now. But back then it got all those views then. So it was a huge video for me back in the day. And over in that video, I went over how much I really liked the Apple Watch. Obviously, it had a lot of problems. That thing was so slow. But it actually got me to take more focus on my health and fitness. And I used to weigh a lot more, maybe around like 280, 300 pounds. And I think in that video, I forget the exact weight I said, but I think I lost like 60 pounds or something like that. And then I just kept losing weight after that. Which is when, you know, I kept making other videos. My next highlight was the whole iPhone XR. I felt like the iPhone XR, people are making fun of the display. I think that got like a bad rap. I made a video saying, hey, don't worry about it. The display is really not going to be that bad. If you've used like any iPhone from last year or the year before that and you like the display, guess what? I'm sure this display is going to look just as good. I feel like I was pretty much vindicated on that point. I think the XR was a pretty good selling phone.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure a lot of people at the end of the day, when they looked at the screen, they went, oh, this is fine. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
So that was great. That was like the first video to get like, I mean, I think now in lifetime views, it's around like 800,000. So it was a pretty big video for me, even for modern view metrics. And then, of course, the highlight right around that time, we're talking about this on my stream before. I kind of made a video detailing how much weight I lost with the Apple Watch, going back to that first video, and how I lost over 100 pounds since I've owned my Apple Watch. And I kind of tweeted it out. I kind of did the YouTube sin of like, you know, you're like a younger creator and you tweet out like a video and be like, hey, maybe check this out. But I tweeted to Jonathan Morrison. I really liked his content and stuff like that. And I kind of just wanted to go like, oh, you know, like, look how amazing technology is. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there at work. Jonathan Morrison DMs me and goes, hey, man, that was great. And I'm like, whoa. Oh, thank you so much. And then, you know, you tweet out a video. You're kind of maybe hoping like, oh, maybe they'll retweet it or something like that or like it or respond to me. Mm-hmm. This guy, Jonathan Morrison, invites me to come over to his studio in California, fly me out. I'm all the way on the East Coast in New Jersey. Fly me across the country over to California to collab with him. That was insane. I was around 8,000 subscribers, I think. Man, that was a mind-blowing experience. Like, that was so early on in my YouTube career, and it kind of like changed everything for me, I feel like, because meeting Jonathan, seeing this guy that you've always seen behind camera, always doing all like these giveaways, seems like a super nice guy, always into like charity work, and just I still feel like, you know, there's a lot of talented creators out there. I still feel like Jonathan probably has maybe the best shot tech videos on YouTube, just from a cinematic perspective.
Yep.
Yeah. To meet him and to see how actually genuine and nice he is in person. You know, they say never meet your heroes sometimes because they can kind of turn out to not be what you expected. Jonathan was what I expected and like more. He was like that amazing, that nice, that kind-hearted. And meeting him, seeing how he worked with his crew and everything like that, actually witnessing a crew make this whole entire video, seeing it go from formation to all the way being done, edited, shot, all the equipment they used. I feel like it was a really eye-opening experience for me to see how this stuff was made at a bigger level and how I could dissect that and apply it to my own content.
Jonathan Morrison is definitely somebody to watch. If you want to know how to create the content the right way, I had the fortunate circumstance of meeting him myself in 2018. He invited me and a bunch of other creators out to his studio. And yeah, I mean, me and him shot a video together too. So that was a lot of fun rocking out with him. So he is definitely legit.
I also want to mention too, because we're kind of going on this journey, I kind of talked about very early on career stuff. But I do have to say, like, going on again, continuing this journey, meeting you, I feel like was a huge part of that as well. So I do want to give you credit. I'm sure we've told the story on your stream a bunch of times by now, but the first time you want to tell it?
I always tell it. You tell it.
All right. So again, iPhone XR, this is around the time where I feel like my channel is finally gaining some traction covering that topic. It was just a hot topic, the XR, which seems so weird now because I feel like XR iPhone 11 is also accepted. But at the time, it was a hot topic in the tech space. So I'm like, I watched Viper streams for a while. I was a lurker. I was the guy in the chat who didn't say anything. I was just lurking, watching, enjoying watching everyone on. And I was like, I feel like I could be on here. Like, I'm a creator of their size. Like, I feel like maybe I can extend an invite. Maybe I can join on a Friday night Viper stream. So I DM Viper. I'm like, hey, Viper, really like your streams and stuff like that. You know, I feel like this iPhone XR, I feel like, you know, people are giving it a bad thing. Can I come on your stream and maybe we'll talk about it? And Viper's like, all right. And Viper, I think Viper watched one of my videos. He goes, ah, yeah, you're definitely legit. You can come on this Friday. I'm like, excellent. I can't wait. That's around like the same week that Jonathan Morrison DM'd me and is like, can you fly out here this weekend? Can you, you know, I didn't even do justice with the Jonathan Morrison story. I'm such a bad storyteller. I'm sitting at work and like, I'm not supposed to take the next day off. I'm stupid me. I go to Jonathan. I'm like, you know, Jonathan, I have work tomorrow. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can make it, Jonathan. And he's like, okay, I understand. Then Jonathan like tweets, DMs me back like 10 minutes later. He's like, yeah, you know, you can like just call in sick, right? I'm like, yeah, that's true, Jonathan. I could call in sick. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, I fly over to Jonathan's place. I'm like sleeping like over like in his studio. I wake up, I got to remember the time zone. So I wake up, it's past then. So actually it was pretty easy. No, it wasn't easy. I had to wake up early. And then I call him to work like super early in the morning. I'm like, yeah, I can't come in. I'm sick. So that was the whole Jonathan thing. But anyway, I wanted to be on Viper stream and I had to cancel because Jonathan offered to fly me out. And I was like, Viper, I know you'll understand when I can explain it to you, but I just can't make it this week. You'll understand when you see what happens. And then I think you understood.
Yeah, I kind of figured that when you canceled on me, something major would happen, but I had no idea what that damn major. I'm like, oh, that's why he canceled. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I understand that. Shout out to those of y'all listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Greg Gadget. If you like Apple content, you want to go learn more about Apple laptops and iPhones and iPads and computers, his channel link will be in the show notes. Definitely check him out. He is legit.
And subscribe to Renee Ritchie and Luke Miani. You know, they'll get you squared off on all that content. So there you go.
No doubt. Also, if you guys want to support or donate to the podcast, that link will be in the show notes. There's a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the show. We're trying to get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts on Apple. So please leave a rating or review if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. So I want to go back up because Luke Miani had a very interesting question for you. I need to find it, but I think he asked, do you remember the first video that you did that hit 1,000 views?
Yeah, I think I kind of answered that. It was the Apple Watch 8 months later video. I believe that was the first hit 1,000.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
Now, I want to go back. I'm going to let you ask more questions. I apologize. I was kind of on this YouTube journey thing. I do want to thank Travis as well, Travis MCP. He was also, I feel, very helpful in my career. Obviously, me and Travis do the podcast now, but me and Travis have been talking in like Twitter DMs back and forth for a long time now, even before we did like the podcast and stuff. And Travis is always there to offer me advice on stuff like that. Creative stuff, always there for me. So I definitely got to hand it to Travis as well. Huge part of my career. Helped me out tons of times.
Travis, that dude, man. Travis is legit. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Travis.
Yes.
And you can't cancel Greg. No, not anymore.
No. Yeah.
All right. So I think we kind of answered this question, but NY fan is asking, what inspired you to start a YouTube channel and what inspired you to continue to produce the great content that you make?
Again, what inspired me to make the YouTube channel was just, you know, I saw people talking about tech. I saw some opinions I didn't agree with. I wanted to offer my perspective. So that's where I came at it. What inspires me to continue making the content? Honestly, it's mostly, I don't know, like inspiration wise, I guess, like other creators, I see how good of a job they do. I would love to get on their level and get better one day. And then also it's the community around my channel, the people who always leave comments and stuff like that. The people who say, I really liked your videos. This one helped me out a ton. This one made my day. So that's like a major driving point too, as well. Just the community around those videos and helping people out. I do like that. If my videos ever helped you out, I love seeing that in the comments when someone goes, Greg, this video was a huge help to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like when I put out a video like that and somebody responds like, hey, thank you for putting it out. Yeah. I get a lot of those for my emoji video that I made. So yeah, that's always a good look. I like that. Feel good when you can help people out who watch your content and they get something, they learn something from your content. Definitely feel good when you get those comments thanking you for stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. And the tech community, I say it all the time. Tech community is the best community on YouTube by far. It has its problems. Every community does. But man, it's so nice. Love it.
Yes, it is. Like I always say, the tech community definitely takes care of its own, man. We are a tight-knit family. We are blessed to be a part of it. Absolutely no doubt about it. So what's next for 100K, Greg? What's the next milestone you're looking at? Or what's the next big thing you're working on here?
We're gonna, you know, after 100K, I guess the next milestone is 1 million. Like, it seems so far away, right?
Usually like 500,000, Greg. Come on now.
500,000? There's no award for 500,000. They need to make a 500,000 award, and then we're talking. I'm a medal hunter. You know, I'm just in it for the medals. No, I guess 200,000 is technically the next goal. That's pretty big. But yeah, I guess 500,000, 500,000, that would be a pretty huge milestone. But at this point, and this might sound weird, I kind of feel like I don't have any more goals to really go for in the immediate future, which is kind of, it relieves me of that pressure. As I got closer to 100,000, it was kind of like all I was focused on. I was like, ooh, I just want to hit 100,000 so I can finally get this milestone and, you know, get that silver play button and be done with it. Now that I'm at 100,000, I kind of feel like I'm reset to zero. I almost feel like I'm at like zero subscribers again. Obviously not in terms of numbers and stuff like that, but in terms of pressure, I feel like it's been lifted. Like, ooh, now it's so long until 500,000 or 1 million that I'm just going to enjoy making content and keep going. See where it takes me.
That's a good way to be. At some point, though, I mean, we're always taught to not worry about subscribers numbers and all that stuff, but at some point, once you do get those high numbers, it's just like, I mean, there's nothing else left except just to make the content grow and become better as a creator and just see how far you can take it.
Yes.
All right. So even though this is a celebration of Greg, and I'm going to let you guys jump in with some questions here pretty soon, we got to talk about the Pixel 4a because now me and Greg both have had some time with the Pixel 4a. As you guys know, I have called it on my shortlist for smartphone of the year. It is literally that good. Like I am, this will be considered for smartphone of the year. Like I am that. I love it. It's an amazing phone. What are your preliminary thoughts on the 4A?
So I just got it today, like right after when I did my live stream. So I really only had it for like what, 8 hours ish, if that. Mm-hmm. But so far, first impressions kind of stuff. I really like it. I think it's a great phone. $350 for the phone you're getting here. Again, Viper and I were talking about it before. Basically, full screen display, looks better than the flagship phone they're selling, the Pixel 4. I don't get that at all.
Yep.
So nice design on the front, especially. You know, it doesn't have the fastest processor and stuff like that, but it feels pretty snappy. Like, there's no slowdowns. I've been using it all day trying to see, ooh, what if I do this? What if I load up a YouTube video and do that? Can I slow it down a little bit? Can I notice something? Not really. The only time I've ever noticed anything loading is when you take a photo and Google processes it. But that's every Google phone. That's how right. They do the thing. They process it afterwards. Been taking some snapshots with the camera. Again, Google nailed it with the camera, even on a budget phone.
Yep.
So really impressed by the 4A. More than I thought I would be when we were first hearing about the rumors. I like the 3A a lot. I like the 3A a lot. But I think this is even a better take on it. And less money, too. 128 gigabytes storage for $350 as well.
Yeah.
Just an amazing value. You know, I want to use it more. I don't like to give opinions. Like, I still need to really test the battery life out. I kind of got it half charged, used it throughout the day. So I can't really test battery life and stuff like that. You say it's pretty good so far, so I'm hoping that's true. I just want to test it out a little bit more before I give a final opinion, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be just like the 3A, where I've had friends and family who like Android better ask me, Greg, I want an inexpensive Android phone. Which one should I get? And I always said, get the Pixel 3A. I'm pretty sure the 4A is going to be my default choice from now on.
Yeah. And for those of y'all acting in the chat, yes, it has dual front speakers. It has a speaker at the bottom, and it has one in the earpiece. It has dual front speakers. So, yes, you are talking about a budget phone with dual speakers. Like, it's kind of amazing. This phone's amazing. The build quality for a budget device is out of this world. This phone is made of plastic, but this matte finish on the back is kind of matte. It feels good in the hand, as Flossy would say. It feels built. One of the things that I didn't really like about the 3A is that even though it was like, $399, $400,
yeah,
it had that plastic back and it was kind of creaky. There is no creaking with this. This is solidly built, feel good. Wait a minute. And the haptics are pretty good on here too. So yeah, this phone is definitely legit. Like Greg said, you get the bezel-less display. I mean, are you kidding me right now? Their flagship phone doesn't even have a bezel-less display. So, yeah. So highly impressed with the Pixel 4a, and right now I'm liking it a lot more than the iPhone SE. Like, I couldn't use the iPhone SE full time because the screen is too small and the battery is trash.
I was just going back to my SE to kind of see, like, oh, let me see what the difference is. Now for the SE, I think I used that for about 1 to 2 months. I used it for, so it was like my daily driver. I could use it. The weakest point was the battery life, though. It was definitely a phone where, I could make it to the end of the day on like a light day, but I'm not a light phone user. I'm always on my phone.
That's right. Right.
So it was definitely a phone. It's like, charge it halfway through the day, you're kind of good. But
yeah,
I hope the 4A's battery life is as good as you say it is.
Cause it's good. I could use the 4A full time if I had to. I can't use the iPhone SE full time. That's just not going to work.
Did you notice they included a Google Fi SIM in the phone?
So funny thing. I did a live unboxing. Okay. And when I went to eject the SIM tray out of the phone to put my SIM card in there, I saw something fall on the floor. I'm like, wait, what the hell is that? So I go to pick it up. I'm like, oh, it's a Fi SIM card. I'm like, okay, I like that. Yeah, I thought it.
Man, that's a smart strategy, because I was almost like, I was like looking at the Fi plans, like, let me see how much this is. And I was like, nah. But it was kind of smart to include that, because, I mean, if people might be tempted just to sign up to Fi. I thought that was a pretty smart strategy.
Yeah, I think we, anytime they send out reviews, I think we get like a month free to try it out and things like that. So that's pretty cool. But that's definitely a smooth strategy by Google.
Yes. And
you know what? Let me address this real quick. I think let me take a drink. I'm gonna address something real quick, because let me all get on my damn nerves.
Uh-oh.
Listen, I want you all to listen to me very closely here. Every time Google releases a phone, they send the phone to Team Pixel. Team Pixel is a bunch of creators on and off of YouTube that they send the phone out to. It is literally for marketing purposes, okay? Obviously, when they send it out to Team Pixel, they don't really send it out for us to review, because we get the phone too late for review to actually matter, because you got people like Marquez and other people that get actual review units. I mean, when this phone was announced, you had Marquez and other people like Mr. Who's the Boss come out with reviews like right there. So obviously, when they give it to Team Pixel, they give it to us the day after it's announced, so it's not really for review purposes, but they expect us to market it. Some of us do reviews, obviously, because that's what we do. But listen, man, every time this happens, and I mean every time this happens, a lot of people are out there moaning and groaning that they didn't get a phone, that people are shilling and marking out because they got a free phone. We get it. You're mad that you didn't get a phone. Get over it. Life's not fair. You don't see me crying because Apple doesn't give me an iPhone. Apple would never give me an iPhone, and they might never give me an iPhone, but I'm not going to cry about it. I'm just going to go buy it like I always do. I'm not going to get mad because the brand doesn't give me a damn phone, but some of y'all need to calm the hell down. Listen, man. If you want a phone, if you want to be in that echelon of that group of people that get a phone, then you got to give them a reason to discover you. Like, put yourself out there. Like get better. Level up. Like, stop crying that you don't get a free phone. And another thing, it's not a free phone. Anytime that I get sent anything, it's work. I have to make a video. They're not sending these phones out for charity. Even though I don't pay anything for it, they're still expecting me to promote it or do something with it. They aren't expecting me just to sit on it. I mean, technically, I could because I'm not legally obligated to do anything with it. But still, if I did that, then I'd risk the chance of them not sending me another phone because they're going to be like, yo, we sent him a phone. If he ain't do nothing with it, why would we send him another one? So even though it is a free phone, as some of you all say, nothing that me or Greg gets is free, okay? Because anytime me or Greg get a product, we got to do a video, and that's work. Now, for those of y'all that don't create, y'all don't understand how much work goes into making a product video, but it's a lot of work. And anybody that does this will tell you making a product video is a lot of work. So I'm tired of y'all talking about it's free. It ain't free. The cost is us doing a video and making content about the device. Y'all need to calm down. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, you're right about that for sure. The interesting thing though was last year with the four. Was it last year? Oh my gosh.
3A. You probably used them on 3A, right?
No, I'm just talking about the 4 and the 4XL. You got that as well, right?
Yeah.
They did make a sign-in embargo for that, and I think we did go live the same exact time every other reviewer did. This launch, you know, I don't want to talk about behind-the-scenes stuff, but I feel like it was a little more kind of last minute. I don't know. I don't know if they had all their kind of ducks in a row, if they knew what exactly was going to happen. But we didn't have to sign anything this year about this. But I will say this, I treat them as review kind of things. I don't, you know, it's free, whatever, but it's my job to review it. That's how I treat it.
Yeah.
It's someone giving me something to do my job with. And I'm not going to be nice to a company just because they send me something for free. Case in point, when they sent us the 4XL last time around, and I'll point out to people, this was a, you know, like $800, $899 phone in the configurations we got. If you think I'm going to be bought out by a $350 phone, go watch my 4XL review where I said I can't recommend it because there's too many other Android phones out there on the market that offer better value. And this really doesn't stand apart. What they were trying to do with the face unlock and Project Soli really wasn't good. So I said, it's not a good phone. Don't get it. So I was honest with Google then. They still decided to give me a 3A. A 4A. So credit to them. I like the 3A. I gave the 3A a good review. I thought it was a good phone. I didn't like the 4. I think I'll like the 4A based on what I'm using now. But again, still got to use it some more. So yeah, you got to be honest because you shouldn't take your audience for granted, right? They're the ones who at the end of the day, they're paying your bills. And if you start lying to your audience, they're going to sniff you out. And once they sniff you out, that's when you really get canceled because once your audience stops trusting you, they're not there anymore.
Yep.
It's over.
Yeah. Like Grant said, we ain't nobody shilling out for no free phone. It's just, it's not happening. Like
our
obligation is to our audience. It's not to a brand, and most creators need, they will do well to realize that your obligation is to your audience and not a brand, because the audience is the reason why you got on that brand radar in the first place. You are nothing without your audience. So if you lose the trust of your audience, what are you doing? You're not doing it right. That's just, like I said, there's no such thing as a free device. Like, these devices come with work.
Yeah, and honestly, of all the devices you could be jealous of, a $350 phone, I don't know. I feel like, be jealous. You know, if Samsung's sending us like the Fold 2, maybe get a little jealous. Like, oh man, they got like a $2,000 thing. Woo! You got a 350 phone. I don't know.
It seems there. Y'all need to get jealous over a higher price. Yeah,
save your jealousy for that. Like when you see a creator get like, you know, I don't know. Well, wow. Even if you get like a Mac Pro, you have to send it back to Apple. They take their review units back.
So yes, they do.
You shouldn't even get jealous over that.
He said, y'all need to get jealous over a higher priced item. This, y'all get jealous over paperweight. Tell you, but they get so sensitive about this stuff, and it's just like it's not what you think it is. It's like literally when a brand sends out a device or a product or whatever, they are expecting that creator to promote it, to make videos about it, make content about it. It's not for free. There's no such thing as free, dude. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, and what's our job? Our job is to inform you on the product. So if we send a picture out from the Pixel 4a, if Google didn't send that to me, I'd probably go out and buy it anyway and go, hey guys, this is from the Pixel 4a. Do you like the photo? Do you not like the photo? Let me know what you think. Hey, the Pixel 4a has good battery life. Wow. These are all the things I would do in an iPhone review, which every iPhone I've ever got, I paid with my own money. These are all the things I would do for, again, Samsung reviews, any Samsung device I ever had, paid with my own money. So I'm going to do the same thing for a free phone. It's all the same process. I don't look at it any different. I look at this like I spent my own money on it. That's how I try and gauge it. Is this worth $350? That's how I look at it.
And similar to Greg, I did a 27-minute review on the Pixel 4 XL, and it was not too kind of Google. It was not kind. Because like Greg said, that phone was not competitive with the rest of the competition at the price point it was released. It was just not competitive. And I let them know. I'm like, dude, this ain't it.
and it's the thing a lot of people don't understand. It's very nuanced, too. The thing about a review is most products have positives to them. There's always a positive to most products. It takes an extremely bad product that fails at every single level. Mm-hmm. You can look at the Galaxy Fold when it was breaking, and still, it still had like a good feature, like, oh, you can unfold it and the screen's big. That's pretty amazing technology. Oh, it broke. But every piece of tech, especially now, because tech is really good for where we are. Most tech is just really good. We're kind of nitpicking at this point. Mm-hmm. But there's always positives, there's always negatives. And you take those positives, you take those negatives, and you try and balance them out. And then you compare it against other phones in the market to see if those positives outweigh everything that the other phone has and all that stuff. So even like the Pixel 4, which again, we both didn't really recommend strongly, it had good qualities about it. It had a nice build. It did feel good in the hands, the siding and stuff like that. The face unlock, even though it wasn't secure, like if you closed your eyes, it would unlock. It was really fast, so it had good qualities to it.
It did. But it's funny, and it actually, I mean, I ended up kind of liking the Pixel 4 because, I mean, while it really didn't stack up to a competition that well, it was still a decent device overall.
Yes.
But again, when you are grading it against the iPhone 11 Pro and the Galaxy Note 10 and things like that, it wasn't competing at all. It was bad.
Yeah.
So Greg, speaking of competing and things like that, there was a Samsung event today. I think you watched the same event I did. And if you watched the same event I did, Greg, you came away with a feeling of boredom, melancholy, disgust, doom, gloom. The event just put you in a bad mood. Am I wrong about this, Greg, or did you feel the same way I felt?
Bring back DJ Co.
Yes! 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 Bring him back!
Yeah, no, should I be like super hard on Samsung? It's hard to do those virtual events. We all can't be Apple and master it the first time you ever do one. So it's hard to do it. It's awkward. A lot of people are like, should we do like a virtual audience? I feel like that's totally the wrong move.
No.
Every time they cut to that audience, it was like a bunch of people on like screens.
It was terrible.
And they'd be like, what'd you guys think? Woo. Pause. Woo.
Never like, again, Samsung. Never again.
So, but it was a really bad presentation. Was that live or pre-taped? Like,
I think it was pre-taped.
Pre-taped. So, yeah, kind of marks against them that way. If it was pre-taped, they should have looked at that and went, we got to redo this. This is really bad. So, I mean, I think Trenton Marshall summed it up best when he like took a clip of like this guy going, I love gaming in like the most unenthusiastic voice ever. You ever think I'm unenthusiastic? You need to see this guy just tell you how much games and taking photos you don't believe him for a second.
He was so terrible.
Yeah. So it was a pretty boring event. The Galaxy Beans look pretty nice. I'd like to try those out. Note 20, we talked about this before. I'm not really interested in it. I just feel like everything overshadowed Note 20. I feel like it doesn't have that unique identity that the Note series used to have.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like a S20 with a stylus. That's not really that special anymore. The watch, who cares about the Galaxy Watch? I'm sorry.
Seriously. Right. Sorry, Steph. I'm like, we don't care.
Yeah. So, when they were talking about how you could take an ECG by pressing it on for like 30 seconds, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. I've been there. So I wasn't that excited for that stuff, but I will say they did save the best for last. And yep, even did. With, so this is how you know a product is good. Even with a boring event, that Galaxy Z Fold 2, man, talk about going from prototype device to, now we assume, because we haven't reviewed it yet, but just going off looks and stuff like that, going to a well-polished, flagship-looking, amazing device, full screen on the front, on folds, they got rid of that stupid notch in the corner. Man, that looks great. That looks like the future. I don't know. People a year ago were saying foldable phones aren't the future. I'm not so sure now. I mean, that looks good. That looks good.
I don't know if I'll call it the future, but it does look damn good, and I want to get my hands on one, especially since I found out it's coming to Verizon Wireless. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I was disappointed we didn't see the price. That was...
So, I tried to inquire about the price from certain people and things, and they wouldn't give it up. But what I can tell you is that what we are thinking is probably going to be most likely the pipe. We're looking at least $2,000 at the very least.
Which, you know, it's expensive, but honestly, that kind of seems fair. So I feel like $2,000 is good. I signed up for like the thing to be like notified. And I think Samsung in the past has had some pretty good trade-in values. So I think maybe I might trade in my Z Flip.
Well, I was looking at some of those trading value people were popping up with today, and the trading values are not what they used to be.
Oh no, they went bad. Oh no,
they're giving you $650 for the Ultra 5G, and I'm like, really?
They went Apple on us. Oh no,
yeah, we're in Apple, man. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, like Terry said, the prices depreciate so quick with Samsung devices. It's just, yeah.
Hopefully the Fold can keep its value, but we'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
But yes, TLDR, the devices were awesome. The event, not awesome. Not at all.
Yeah, it was bad. It was cringy. It was when you have MKBHD tweeting out that the event is cringy. I think you pretty much failed. You know, yeah. Marquez, I feel like he's kind of up there, you know. So when he's you know, some of us will kind of go a little harder, a little harder on these people. When you have Marquez saying it, I think it's pretty much confirmed.
Yeah. Yeah. When you know you're the method with Marquez and Platt.
Did you see that they had like MKBHD on there for a second? They had Zach and everything on there. And they're like trying to like be like, oh, well, you said this was bad. Well, guess what? We fixed it. Like patting themselves on the back. Meanwhile, I'm just looking at that going, so like you're admitting like the first Fold was like you just sold us like the beta version of this device.
Oh yeah, they know what they did. They know they messed up. They know they messed up.
Also, please don't ever reference the new normal in an event.
Oh my god, Renee Ritchie got so mad, and I think Tech King might get mad about that too. Yeah, trying to market the new normal is not a good look, Samsung. Don't do that no more. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the S Pen is not going to save me from what's going on.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it you that was saying earlier when we were on the live stream that they were showing clips of people in a subway without wearing masks? Yeah,
they went through that whole like thing about how these products were made for the new normal. It wasn't just like, hey, we have products. No, these were made for the new normal. And then they show off their Galaxy Buds Live. And then the advertisement of that is people in a crowded train with like no masks on or anything. And I'm like, how is this the new normal? That's the old normal. What are you talking about? So, I mean, obviously these products are made years in advance. So to market these products as for the new normal, I feel is pretty disingenuous. I feel like if you're going to acknowledge anything, you do the Apple move. You go in the beginning and you go, hey, hard time. Our products help people get through this time. And that's it. You're done. You just talk about the products after that.
Yeah. Don't, like I said, don't try to market the new normal. It's not a good look. Just don't do that. Just you gotta be better than that. You have to be better than that because it's just not a good look. But we need to have a semi-serious conversation right now because something happened earlier tonight. It's bad. And it's not just bad for who it happens to, it's bad for all of us. So I'm going to show you guys what I learned tonight. Shout out to Travis MCP for this information. I just need to find a tweet. So our good friend John Prosser had his channel hacked, and now it's been completely deleted, which is just mind-blowing. Now, there is a high probability that he will be able to get his channel back. But, this is a crazy situation. Now, it's not just happening to him. It's like happening to a lot of big, large, verified YouTube channels. They're being hacked. It's the same Bitcoin scheme that was happening on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. And now it's happening on YouTube. And people are losing their channels and things like that. So this stuff is crazy. But there is a way to protect your channel from this happening. And the way to do that is to buy an actual physical security key, which Google sells. I'm trying to find a damn Travis tweet, but I can't find it, of course. But give me a second here. But Greg, I know you know something about this. So talk to us about what this physical key can do for protecting your account.
So there's what they call a physical security key. A couple companies make them. I think the one that Travis is referencing is the one that actually Google makes. So it's great for YouTube, the Titan security key. And what we're finding out is a lot of these YouTube accounts like John Prosser's is they're getting hacked, unfortunately. The way they're doing this is, number one, I guess they're getting the password from somewhere. And they also are cloning or swapping, I forget the exact term, the SIM card. So they can basically get your number somehow and then get that verification code. If you have two-factor set through SMS, they can get that verification code and use it and then get into your account, change your passwords, and upload whatever they want. So the best way to protect your accounts is to get one of these physical security keys. And when you get one of those physical security keys, the next thing you have to do is actually go into your settings on like your YouTube account and disable SMS two-factor authentication, because if you still have that active, they can attack the weakest link. So that's the weakest link. You have to get rid of that. After that, whenever you want to do your two-step verification, you would just either plug in your security key or they have like a Bluetooth version as well. So you can like press a button and it'll sync up and stuff like that.
All right. So it's called the Titan security key. Here it is.
Yeah.
It looks like you can buy it from store.google.com. They come in three different variations. So this one is Bluetooth right here. This one is USB and this one is USB-C. I brought the Bluetooth one because I didn't want to have to buy something that plugs directly into the computer. But the only thing about the Bluetooth one is that it has to be charged, but that's not really a problem. But yeah, you can buy the USB one or the USB-C one. But like Greg said, these are physical keys that you can use to set up two-factor authentication on your Google account. So nobody can hack your account if they don't have the physical key. And I think that's the big main thing to take away from what happened with John and what's happening with all these channels, that you need to protect your YouTube account, protect your Google account like anyway, but you can definitely protect them with these physical keys here. And I think they're, the pricing on them, I think they go from $25 to $50. With a bundle. The Bluetooth key that I brought, I think, was like $35 plus shipping, or not shipping, but it was $35. I think the USB key is $25, and I think the USB-C key is $40. So actually, that's going to probably help.
It's like a bundle that I would recommend.
Yeah, so the bundle right here, like Greg said.
You get both for $50.
You get the Bluetooth and
one, have the other one. So that's what I have.
Yeah, I just brought the Bluetooth because I didn't want to plug anything to the computer. But yeah. If you are serious about doing YouTube or being a creator and you think your channel is going to get big at some point, you might want to invest in it. This is like serious stuff, people.
The Bluetooth, I have it right here on my keys. The Bluetooth one is the best one, too, because you can actually just plug it in like right here, too. So you can plug it in as well. So you could do both.
Nice. And like Renee said, you can actually use your Pixel phone as well to use that as an actual physical key, too. Yeah. So,
and your iPhone. You can do authentication through your iPhone if you download Smart Lock from Google. It's the same kind of thing. So you can do that all. It's better than the SMS stuff. The Google phones have the Titan security key built right in.
Yeah. So ThinkPath is saying, can someone create a video about what Viper and Greg are talking about? I'm going to call on Renee Ritchie because he is the best at doing stuff like that. So Renee, I challenge you to make that video. But yeah, like I said, normally with two-factor authentication, there's like certain types. There's a type where you put in your password, and then they will send a text message to your phone to verify that it's you. That can be bypassed, apparently. So you don't want to do that, like Greg said, especially if you get a physical key. You want to turn off the SMS part of the two-factor, so it'll just go right to the key and not the actual phone. Because obviously, if you were like us and you change phones a lot, that's probably not a good idea. So yeah, if you're serious about doing YouTube and you plan to be on the platform for a while, you might want to invest in one of these keys in the long term. Probably money well spent, and they're not a lot of money. So there you go.
Yeah. And I believe you can apply this to like multiple other apps as well and stuff like that. So,
yep.
Better if you're like a normal YouTube viewer, you probably really honestly don't have to worry about it. But if you are a creator, you're a target. Like you have a target on your head, and people are going to try and take advantage of you. Especially the bigger you get, you really have to think about protecting yourself. I mean, you know, listen, Front Page Tech, obviously it's a huge channel, but even in terms of YouTube, right? Like it's not like he was like a million subscribers, MKBHD level, you know what I mean? Like still in terms of YouTube, not like the, you know, like the biggest target in the world, but they still went after it. Like it was a big enough target. Yep. So you really, as you start getting more well-known, all it takes is one, I don't know. It's weird. And I'm sure these are kind of random because it's happening to so many channels. But man, it's bad. To secure yourself. That's all I'll say. Like, take it seriously.
At all costs, man. Protect yourself at all costs.
It's better to spend $35 now than deal with what John's going through, because that is a major headache and major loss in money.
Absolutely. Especially if YouTube is your lifeline and what you do for a living. Yeah, you gotta protect yourself. And Renee says Snuff might have made a video. I think she did make a video. I think she made like a whole series or something. So,
yeah. Also, for creators who are starting out too, you'll get a lot as you start getting like subscribers, as people start getting your attention, stuff like that. You will get a lot of emails telling you, "Hey, do you want to review my app? Do you want to do a sponsorship on this VPN?" And you'll hear from like these like no name people you've never heard of in your life.
Yep.
Do not accept those sponsorships. Make sure you vet whoever sponsorship you're getting. Do not install random software on your computer, because that's also a way that they get into your accounts and stuff like that. So if you're just starting out, I know it's tempting. You'll get some no name you never heard of, but they're like, "Hey, we want to pay for a video." When you first start out, it's like, "Oh my God, someone wants to pay for a video." A lot of the times it can be very scammy, especially when it's software from companies you've never heard of. Always check where the email's coming from. If someone says, "I'm from this company," and then it's like @yahoo.com, I'm sorry, I'm not responding to your email.
Nope.
I'm not from that company. Response me with the proper email address.
Yes, I said this on Twitter, I think yesterday. I will not respond to an email from a brand if the actual brand is not part of the email address. So if you are contacting me from IATI, and your part of your email address is not iati.com, I'm not answering you. It's just that is a good way to protect yourself. Somebody brought up to me that I might miss an email from brand agency, but even the agency to have the agency name in the email. So again, if the brand, whatever brand is contacting you, if their name is not part of that email address, that's a red flag for me. I avoid those emails at all costs.
Yeah. And honestly, they're nicely worded emails a lot of the times. They seem legitimate, like, but these people know what they're doing. They're trying to target you. As Simply Pop says, he got one of those emails almost every day and he almost fell for it. He says, "Thank God I didn't download it," which is true. And I gotta admit, like, there's times where like I was just starting out and I got those emails. And I was like, "Oh," but I'm a very skeptical person by nature. I'm almost like, "Who's emailing me for a sponsorship deal? This is too good to be true." So I check into it and I'm like, "Oh, this is like a scam."
And also, we had those scam emails that were coming out that looked like they were from YouTube asking you to log in with your information.
Yes.
YouTube will never ask you to log in with your information in an email. So don't do that.
Yeah.
So I am at the point of the podcast where I am opening it up to questions for Greg. This is about him. This is his night. This is his time. So if you guys have questions for Greg about his journey or what he does or how he does it, I am opening it up to you guys to ask some questions. So fire away and we will try to get them answered.
One more security thing that Travis always says,
yep.
Which is kind of hard if you've already made a YouTube account. But if you're making one for the first time, attach it to a separate email that has nothing to do with your YouTube account, because they have to know that as well. So if you can kind of make it just random, a random email login that no, like you'd never send email from, it's just a login to your YouTube account, that's also another protection.
Yeah, so whatever your email account is, whatever your main email account is, make sure that if you have like a business email account for YouTube, that it's not the same email. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Think, ThinkPredictit says, do you think iPhone SE will become the most selling smartphone in the world?
No. Even during Apple's last quarter earnings, they said the iPhone SE sold really well, but overall, the iPhone 11 still outsold it. So I don't think so. I think iPhone 11 going to be the best selling phone.
There you go. Like Greg said, it'll sell well, but probably the 11 and probably the 12 will sell well this year too, depending on how much it costs. And a lot of people are looking forward to that smaller iPhone.
I am. I'm excited. That's why when you're saying 3A, best phone of the year, I'm saying, hold on. Don't count it just yet, Viper. You know how the 11 Pro came in last minute last year.
And I said short lived, buddy. I said short lived.
All right, Janosen said, Greg, do you see yourself doing YouTube full time at some point? And at what sort of channel number do you see yourself doing it? He already is, dude.
It's happened, Genosis. I'm full time, baby.
He's full time, man. All right, Tech, for you need to, what makes you not give up in the hard times? That's a good question.
Man, I feel pretty fortunate, and I feel like I haven't really gone through too many hard times. I guess now's a hard time for everyone, technically. We're all in it together, though, so it's not too bad. I don't know. I always just think, you know, like you're always going to have bad days. No matter how good your life is, you're going to have a bad day. Bad things are going to happen to you. That's life. You just got to deal with it. You can be sad. You can do that. But eventually you got to pick yourself up, get back to work. So, I mean, that's it. I'll watch a Vegeta video and that gets me going.
Yes, sir.
exactly.
Love me some Vegeta. All right, Yathan, Greg, does gear matter, and at what stage does it matter most, if it does?
Ooh. Gear does matter, but not as much as you think. So, I'd say early on, I feel like, I mean, smartphones, man, camera, video quality on any modern smartphone is pretty amazing. So if you're talking like gear as in starting a channel, which I think he is, I feel like that doesn't matter. Invest in lights above all else, because you need good lighting no matter what camera you have, whether it's smartphone or even like a $4,000 camera. You still need good lighting. And a lot of people invest their money into the camera and then they forget about the lens and the lighting. So I would say focus on lighting as Viper. You see Cinematic Viper now. He looks all crispy and stuff. That's a lot due to that lighting and also that amazing lens. So
yes, sir.
Gear's important, but let me tell you, a lot of the bigger channels, bigger than me, they did all their videos on like a smartphone. So it kind of doesn't matter that much. Content matters more than gear.
Yes, absolutely. So Jose wants to know, how did you meet Viper? Well, he stalked me. He literally stalked me.
Yeah. I said at the beginning of the stream, but basically I just watched Viper streams. I was a lurker. I was one of those people that Viper always references. Like, you're lurking. I know you're there. I see you. So I was one of the lurkers. I didn't say anything in the chat. And then one day I want to talk to Viper. I'm like, let me come on. And then I blew him off for Jonathan Morrison. That's how I met Viper.
All right. I think you kind of just answered it, but a WWE fan wants to know, was there a moment when you nearly quit YouTube? And if yes, how did you overcome it?
No. I never thought I would quit because I just wanted to make content. I didn't get into it for money. I didn't get into it for subscribers, even though I'm happy with all the subscribers I have. I got into it because I liked making the content. So there was never a time where I got disappointed by anything. If I wasn't seeing the numbers I wanted, it didn't matter to me because I just wanted to make more content.
Oh, one of the great, baby. One of the great talking to you all. All right. So think pedantic. Do you think 120 hertz is overrated?
Yes, it's overrated. It's nice. I would rather have it. I like it on my iPad Pro. I like it on the phones I've used that have higher refresh rate. But I got to tell you, I go back to phones that have the lower refresh rate and I'm not bothered by it. There's certain things as like if I go and use an iMac that doesn't have a Retina display, it bothers me. if I can see those pixels, I get bothered by it. I'm like, man, this display is so low resolution. I can see the pixels. That bothers me. The refresh rate, it's nice. I notice it, but it's kind of out of my head within like the hour of using the phone. It just becomes normal. If I go back and switch to a 60 hertz for a second, I'm like, oh, it's not as smooth. And then I forget about it.
There you go. All right. DePoy wants to know, how many videos in advance do you plan to shoot on average?
Poets, I'm going video by video. There's no plan. I wish I had a plan. That would be nice. I've tried to make plans and stuff like that. But yeah, it's video by video for me. Travis is always like, you got to do batch recording. And I'm like, I wish I could, Travis, but I do one video. I feel like I'm like Renee. I feel like me and Renee sometimes will procrastinate on doing something. And then like the next morning we're rushing to get it done, writing that script out or something. So I'm video by video.
All right. I don't know when it can come around. I've heard nothing about this, but have you heard anything about the butterfly keyboard coming back? I've heard nothing about this.
Yeah. So there was a rumor that, again, there's so many rumors now from these accounts. I don't know if you could take them half seriously. That Apple's going to make another 12-inch MacBook with Apple Silicon, and they're going to bring back the butterfly keyboard. Obviously, for a computer that thin, you have to bring back a different keyboard. It can't be the Magic Keyboard. So I don't know if it's true. I think Apple will make smaller computers, so I guess I think it's true. I feel like eventually we'll get back to that point. I just hope Apple doesn't call it a butterfly keyboard, and whatever they call it, they better make sure it doesn't break. Like, it better be rock solid reliable. It better be more reliable than the Magic Keyboard. It can be low travel. It can be all that stuff. It cannot break. It just can't.
Seriously. Okay, this isn't a crazy question, but I'll ask it anyway. Have either you had hate so bad you had to contact police that affected your mental health? For me personally, no.
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 No, no.
Anytime I remotely get comments that even close, you know, that way I just delete them. Anyway, I got time. No,
I do get hate, like every YouTuber, I get hate. It really doesn't bother me at all. 619, like it rolls off me. I have a really thick skin. Like, you could say like the worst thing imaginable to me, and it really just kind of rolls off, because I view the people leaving those comments as like really kind of sad. Like, I almost laugh at them. I'm like, this person must be like so sad and lonely to leave a comment like that. I almost feel bad for them. Like, their life is so bad that they want to get on and leave a comment like that. Like, Brad Pitt is not sitting on his computer leaving mean comments. No one successful in life is going on their computer leaving mean comments. It's someone who's pretty down on their luck trying to make themselves feel better.
Seriously. Like Grant said, nobody successful is leaving mean comments.
Yeah. They don't have time. I'm not wasting my time leaving mean comments on video.
I'm not either. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up here. It's getting kind of late, and both of our neck of the woods. So
if we made it 15 more minutes, we could have got to my, almost 15 more minutes. We could have got to my actual birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, I will let you bring up your birthday however you want to bring up your birthday. But Mr. 100K Greg, thank you for joining me, man. I appreciate you, baby. Thank you.
Again, I will say it again. Like Steve Jobs, I handpicked who would be doing the interview. So thank you, Viper, for having me on. Thank you for doing the interview. Appreciate everyone in the chat. I know we couldn't get to all your messages. I saw all the birthday wishes. I saw all the congratulations on 100,000. So thank you to everyone who watched. Appreciate all the nice words. It's been a huge outpouring. And thank you so much for making my day. 2020, bad year, but I don't know. It was pretty good for me. I'm not going to lie. So
Right. So
it's going okay for me.
Again, congratulations on 100K. I would tell you to tell the people where they can find you, but the people know, if you guys want to check out a channel, the link is in the description. So definitely go down there, check them out. I'm pretty sure most of you all probably watch them already anyway, so we don't even need to go through all that. Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. And thank you for hanging out with me and celebrating Greg hitting 100K. I appreciate you guys rocking out with me each and every week on the podcast. If you want to go check out Greg's video, which I would highly recommend you do, his link will be in the show notes. Definitely check him out. He is legit. He is that dude. If you want to support or donate to the podcast, there is a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. Not required, but if you're willing to contribute, and support the podcast and me and what I do, it will be greatly, greatly appreciated. The big thing, though, for those of y'all listening on audio, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the show. And it helped me try to get back into the top 200 of tech podcasts on Apple. Still can't believe I'm not back in there yet, but I will. I will. But
that's two. So
seriously,
leave those ratings.
Let's go, baby. So anything that you guys can do to help with that, greatly, greatly appreciate it. But thank you all for listening to another episode of Vibe Drop. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.